do I get out of my community? And that's the beautiful part. That's why community exists, right? I take certain things, but I also give. And I never want you all as believers for you to forget discipleship is not just taking, it's also giving. It's a beautiful repeat. Good morning. Thanks for coming today. It's good to see a variety of ages, a variety of churches represented this morning. This is your first breakout, so I have no handout currently, so if you want to find and kind of follow along in breakout one in your booklet, that would be kind of where if you want to take some notes. I get the task and the honor and the privilege of talking about community. I instantly raised my hand when we started discussing topics about what community looks like in a believer's life, why community when it comes to discipleship is needed, whether personal or corporate. This is definitely something as I've grown in my 20-some years of being a believer, that is near and dear to my heart for many reasons. And I think a lot of you in your own personal testimonies probably could say the same thing, okay? So today, my goal is to kind of frame up three things. The three things of what, the second thing is going to be how. You're noticing a pattern here, aren't you? And why. The beautiful thing, I would say, about something like a discipleship conference and being part of the wonderful staff at ACCFS is I get to see everything that comes across what's about to be presented today as a publications editor. But not everybody else does. And so it's always really fascinating as we pray through and prepare through how this is going to look today, just the common themes without intention and just how the Spirit moves through that. So let's kind of dive into community today and what that means regarding discipleship. All right. I'm a teacher, high school history teacher by trade. So I like to start off, you signed up for this breakout. Maybe you signed yourself up. Maybe a spouse signed you up. Maybe you forgot what you signed up for. So when I think of engaging the community or why that is important in our discipleship growth, let's start with the what. What is engaging and what is community? Okay, what is engaging and what is community? When I first did this dictionary definition, it pulls up this great, you know, adjective. It's pleasant, it's attractive. And it's like, oh, adjective, nope, that's not what I'm looking for. I want something that is active, that is pursuit, okay? So when you look at this word of engaging the community, and as we kind of talk through in the next 40 minutes or so, I want you to think action, right? Verbs are progressive. It starts and it continues. It occupies the attention or efforts of a person or people, okay? Occupying attention or efforts. And today's language, you know, the buzzwords is intentionality, time, stewardship of time. That's how I would almost frame up occupy, okay? Occupy the attention or efforts of. There's the word engaging. Second then, community. This one's a little harder to wrap your mind around, and according to my lovely friend dictionary.com, there's quite a few options to define community. I went with a couple that I think most of you know. Maybe some of this will be a little bit of a stretch as far as what it means and how it means. Okay, so a noun, person, place, thing, or idea. And here's some ideas of what that could be as a noun. A social group of any size, so group, typically more than just one person, right? Residing in a specific locality, so geographically. Sharing common government, and often have a common cultural and historical heritage. So locality, all of you right now, locally live physically, geographically in a community of some sort. Some of us small, some of us large, urban even, right? A specific location, physical presence could potentially make up community. Share government, okay? That's not necessarily politics. That's common patterns of doing things. That's we share common firefighters and police force, right? We share a common city board. There's all of those pieces that could potentially make up government. Boundaries, procedural, ways of doing things, okay? You have that as a community potentially. Often it can have a common cultural and historical heritage, okay? So common to all of us in this room is something like, I say, July 4th, And you all, culturally and heritagely speaking, can place yourself on what that means to you, okay? I bring in somebody from Azerbaijan. July 4th is a day in July towards the beginning of the month, right? There's not that common cultural or historical heritage that means something to them, okay? Community can also be, again, a locality inhabited by such a group. A social, here comes the spiritual implications here, a social community, religious, occupational, or other sharing common characteristics of interests, shared common characteristics of interest. Some of you in here are homeschool moms, right? You have a shared community of common interests for that. Some of you here have the vocation of nursing. You would have a shared common vocation of nursing. And perceived or perceiving itself as distinct from some other larger aspect of society. It says distinct, it does not say exclusive. I think that's important, actually. So engaging, verb, efforts, occupying time, community, noun. If I was taking notes, I tried to bold or like make bigger some of the words that I think are important here. Group, locality, government, common characteristics or interests. Okay. Here's the what of engaging community regarding discipleship. Now here's the beautiful thing about community. It's twofold. As I was walking around town the other day with my children, it happened about a week and a half ago when we had nice weather. Remember that? As I thought about my community, I live in a fairly small community, right? My locality, my geographic bearing is smaller. Actually, when I think of my past, I actually grew up in an even smaller community than I'm currently existing. And as I kind of placed and prayed through this talk and this teaching opportunity to encourage and equip you all with here today, I thought through why do each of these aspects represent community in my life? Whether it's locality, common interests, shared vision, right? Government. Why does that mean something to Katie Miller? Why does that mean something to each of you in here, okay? And here's what I came up with. Oftentimes I think in our human nature, we think of it as what I take, what I receive. What do I get out of my community, okay? And that's the beautiful part. That's why community exists, right? I take certain things, but I also give. And I never want you all as believers in your spiritual maturation that Matt encouraged in growth, for you to forget discipleship is not just taking, it's also giving. It's a beautiful repeat flow chart here. So I give to potentially community, and then another takes, and then we continue on. Like I give to someone, to some organization, common interest, locality, job, you name it, in community. And then I also take from some of those geographic, common interest, locality pieces. And then it happens again, okay? There's a give and a take. There's an ebb and a flow. There's a great balance of you as a believer in Christ, in his image bearing, giving. And I think oftentimes in community, that's what we think. We need to serve, we need to give, we need to teach, we need to disciple. I want to outserve, I want to outget. But if we really are learners and students 1, 2, 3, like Matt shared, we also have to be willing to learn and to take ourselves and to learn and get taught, right? It's that reciprocal relationship of community. A great place to look is none other than Jesus. Right? To be like Jesus, to be with Jesus, let's examine what Jesus' community was. Now, I took three scriptures. There's multiple, That's going to be your homework leaving today's breakout session. As you read scriptures about Jesus, about his disciples, right? The preface to this specific breakout when you signed up was, Jesus called 12, not one. So in today's cultural, individualistic, I can be, I can do, I don't need, be challenged that Jesus wasn't just Jesus. Jesus needed and trained and loved and served a pretty close community, and definitely an extended on. So we'll get to that. I chose this first one here. Let's go Matthew 15:32. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Okay? So this is an example of Jesus' community. Let's kind of break this down here. See? Matt did a little word study. Katie Miller is going to do a little word study here. As what jumps out to me, here's what jumped out to me in these verses. Jesus called his disciples. He said, I, the Son of God, need you to come with me because there is a need somewhere. I have compassion. I called them to him. There's a shared love that we need to go towards in this community at this time with this multitude. Could he, the Son of God, done it on his own? Did it? He absolutely. None of us in this room could have questioned that, right? He chose not to. Isn't that fascinating? He chose, hey, however many disciples were there at that time, and other followers, because there's a need. They've been here 3 days and they've had little or nothing to eat. They need sustenance, right? They've been following me. We need to have compassion on them. Guys, we gotta work this out. Let's do this together. Interesting, isn't it? There was a need, they were devoted. I mean, not just to the disciples here, but these people following him for that amount of days with little, if any, sustenance. I mean, I don't know how y'all long can follow someone for that long without physical nourishment, right? There was a need and love for others, compassion. Jesus illustrated in this scripture, small little piece taken from Matthew 15:32, before he's about to do some miraculous miracles, community is important. He's giving to them. He's teaching, right? They're seeing and witnessing an amazing, amazing piece of history. But yet he's also taking and saying, hey guys, we need to give and receive in this community. Let's go on to another verse here. Matthew 26:36. Coming upon this season, are we not? Jesus with them, there's the them, into a place called Gethsemane. And he says to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Now, for a moment pause, because we know what's going to happen and how many times he says this and how many times they fall asleep and they're not necessarily present there, the disciples. What I love about this scripture and what speaks to me as far as community goes, Jesus again could have done this on his own. He knew what was about to happen. He really wanted his closest community, his tightest network, close to him. He knew their sin nature. He knew they probably weren't going to stay away. You know, all these pieces. But he still wanted them there, right? Be with me. I need you close. I need you physically close for what's about to happen. He didn't need them physically close to talk to his Father. He needed them physically close because of who they were and what they had experienced together. He also exemplifies here in community then to go and pray, that solitude and quietness. Think of what he's showing them here. He's about to do a very physical, difficult for our souls and for every single one of their souls there. And yet he's saying, I'm going to show you small community and the tightness that is needed. And I'm going to go over here, you're going to stay here, and I'm going to show you what being with Jesus, being with the Father, looks like right here. That's pretty tight community. That's a beautiful, engaging picture, even though he does separate himself a little bit from it. Okay, another scripture. This one's a little more lighthearted. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Yay! They got an invitation in the mail. Right? We all get invitations. I got an invitation for a wedding this weekend. He was called into a celebratory community. It was an honoring event. He was called to a marriage. And his buddies, his little community, got to go with him. Right? It was festive. It was honoring. It was social. Community is also meant to be festive, honoring, and social. And I think oftentimes when we think of discipling our own personal growth and or encouraging others, we always go towards that spiritual. What are they growing? How's their scripture? How's their prayer? What are their spiritual disciplines? That's important. That is very, very important. But sometimes there's also some social celebratory things that need to happen to witness engaging community. Take heart. Three very different levels of scripture, very different emotions as far as Jesus' community and what he witnessed, and yet pretty powerful. Any others that you can think of right off the top of your head of when Jesus would have experienced community in a variety of ways or reasons? No, putting you on the spot here a little bit. You're thinking this is a breakout session, not a discussion forum yet, right? Tara, do you have one for us?
When the women provided for Jesus'
needs. Okay, yeah, the women provided at the cross, yes. Is that what you mean? Or the what?
Just throughout the scripture, when they, like,
yeah, so women providing finances, needs, cares, that type of thing, as they followed him, as they traveled with him, absolutely. That sense of community, the giving that they gave, they would have been taught to, they would have experienced social through the travel. I like that. Definitely a unique piece of community, right? Because they likely had left maybe what their known community had been, their locality of community. Good example. Any other ones?
Jesus desired to celebrate the Passover.
Celebration of Passover. So there's liturgy there. I like corporate community. Absolutely. Celebration of Passover. And what that looked like. Evan.
Jesus telling the demon-possessed man to stay where he's at, to spread the word and stuff in his community.
Sure. The demon-possessed man commanding, right? That oftentimes we think of that as a miracle, but it is a community as far as like what then he could go do, what then he could go share, right? And encourage others through that. I like that. Did I summarize that well? Okay. I want to make sure. What's that? Speak to that. What makes you think of community?
When he goes, the disciples say something to the effect of, let's go with him, that we may die with him. I think those are words.
Yeah. And that's a fascinating one. He brought up Lazarus and going to the tomb with Jesus. They didn't necessarily think that wasn't an exciting invitation to get, likely. They were going to honor, to grieve, right? That would be, I'm going to grieve in the community together. That's a great one, right? Do you see how these emotions are kind of like interplaying on what Jesus is showing us with community? Any other ones? Becca, do you have your hand up?
I was thinking whenever they're in Galilee and Jesus would call them to the mountain, and it's almost like this repetitive call to like a certain place that they kind of shared together.
Yeah, so she brings up calling them to the mountain, calling them to gather, almost a little bit corporate together. This is kind of our special place. We're about to, you know, I'm going to teach you. Let's gather here. That's where like the other community of women and the caretakers potentially could have played a part. Yeah, that is special, right? Kind of the first almost corporate getting together. This is our special place. Those are great examples. It makes, I guess, when I studied through this and thought through this and prayed through this from my own small little community to what Jesus would have experienced, it's a beautiful kind of search and find through scriptures of what you can find and what Jesus witnessed within his community itself. Here's what I don't want you to forget, too. I kind of introduced that. Recently, I did a study. It was grieving study. For a specific situation, raising families. But what I liked about this quote was something that I think I always challenged myself with. This is a quote from a sermon by Alistair Begg that says, to be necessarily absent is one thing. So what he's encouraging here is sometimes a physical ailment, something you're grieving or going through a hardship, there's going to be a time where separating from a community, physically, that type of thing, will be necessary. To be necessarily absent is one thing. But to be needlessly absent, that repetitive separation, that repetitive isolation away from community, deprives yourself of being helped, but also helping others. It stops that cycle of the give-take, right? So to be needlessly absent is to deprive oneself of being helped and helping others. So often, if we're caught in a hard spot, personally, or somebody we're trying to help is caught in a hard spot personally, there's this like, I can't deal with it, I'm gonna push it away, I'm gonna isolate. And this specific, pastor and speaker is saying sometimes there is a necessary absence that's needed. But just be careful, because the discernment and the fine line there is, if I keep isolating and letting culture speak that you can do this, you don't need anyone, you're all alone in this, that allows you not only to get help and receive, but it also allows you, what if somebody else, this testimony is exactly the same thing, and you can't help them because you're just stuck. You're removing yourself from community and what that means. Something to think about. This quote struck me really, really hard, because I think sometimes I just get in that, like, well, I can't give, so therefore, well, just because I can't give doesn't mean somebody's not ready to pour into me and I can take at that moment from my community. Okay? To be necessarily absent is one thing, but the discernment then comes, to be needlessly absent is to deprive oneself of being helped and helping others. Okay? Keep that in mind. Your community. I'm going to take some of these. One second here. Okay. I'm going to have you pass these around. You'll pass them down. We're going to go get to do a little self-reflection activity. Maybe this is where knowing exactly who your speaker is and what their background as a teacher is like, not going to sign up for that breakout speaker's activity, okay? Let's now bring it down to our level, okay? So the what, engaging in community, the how, or what we witness from Jesus, okay? Let's now, there's going to be extras, so I can come around here in a second. Let's bring it to your level. What does your community look like? So in front of you right now, you have kind of a template, and I want you, for just the next few minutes here, I want you to just kind of go through and think about, now I kind of teed up community, you can be as brief in general or as specific as you want, but go ahead for the next, let's do like five-ish minutes, there's going to be an expansion of this, so maybe 3 to 5 minutes, write down on this template your communities, okay? Go ahead and go. The next part then is I want you to think about each of the communities you wrote down and what does each provide for you? Why are you part of that community? It can be a descriptive word, it can be an adjective. Why that community? It can be a phrase. But go ahead and try to fill it in around or near that specific circle. Why that community? If you need to add circles to this template, feel free to too. Maybe some of you in here have many communities. And then the third and final step is I want you to go through each of the communities you wrote down and either put a give that I give to this community, or a take, right? I receive, I take from this community, or both. I give to it and I receive from it. Okay, look at each of your communities and what that looks like. Which part of this activity was the hardest? None of it, y'all nailed it. Community 101 done. Yeah. Okay. Why do you think, Evan, that was hard for you?
I don't know. I just feel like defining a community versus like just going out and traveling and stuff versus just defining a set place kind of within the community definitions that you gave.
Okay. Okay.
Kind of come up with.
The locality or common interest, that type of thing. Okay. Any other thoughts on that? Or what was maybe harder?
The give and take.
The give and take piece. Okay. Oftentimes I think, so if you're thinking, okay, one of your communities is occupation, work, vocation, right? Many of you probably put that down. So I give a lot to my occupation, right? Time stewardship wise, I give. Now is like a salary compensation the take? If you're like kind of like playing that mind game a little bit, that is fine. I think what the goal of this, of like giving and taking, is just to understand that beautiful blessing and cycle of it. So other share outs, I would love to hear your hearts about, you don't have to personally share if not comfortable, but what about, did this reveal anything to you?
So many of them overlap.
Ah.
It's often within the church, obviously, you know.
Yeah. So many of.
I need to be more on the outside, maybe. That's convicting.
No. So many of your communities overlap.
Yes.
Okay. So, for instance, raise your hand if you had your church family, church down. Yep. Okay. Most likely you are attending a discipleship conference because of your spiritual maturation and growth and your desire to learn, right? That's pretty evident. So church is probably on there. How many of you put family down on your, yep, okay. How many of you did put work or vocation, occupation, okay? How many of you put outside of, let's say, outside of family, church, how many of you put like specific local geographic community down? Yeah? Okay, and somebody share like what one of those looks like.
I put grocery store.
Grocery store. Okay, why did you put that? I'm curious.
Well,
that's great. I have
some. It's a location, and it's all. I mean, you all following us, like you all there for a common purpose to get stuff. And
yes.
It's in within a boundaries. You have to abide by certain rules.
Do you see the same people sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Did anybody put their town name down? Like that's my community. Yeah, it's my Gridley folk in the back there. That's right. Right. Okay, and like Jeremy and Rich, why'd you put Gridley down in your minds? Okay, so the government piece, the principality piece, absolutely. That family is very active within that, you know, and that itself is kind of another micro community, right? Within that township, that specific order, okay? Any other pieces of town community, geographically speaking, like that? Your street, okay, your block, because Brooke, speak to that a little bit. To you, that means what or why?
It's the people that we're watching each other's houses. We're chit-chatting.
Yeah.
Coming and go.
Yeah. You're out for a family walk and you see, oh, or their dog got loose, or oh, they got a new roof. Absolutely, right, absolutely. That is community, right? That you are set aside specifically in a geographic location. They live in a bigger, you know, city, so that to them is absolutely community, their block. Any other piece of community, Peg?
Volunteer opportunities that put you in different organizations.
Okay.
Interact with other people.
And you wouldn't have gone to the grocery store, etc., found these people unless that common interest of volunteering for that organization, that passion, that heart, that type of thing. Yeah, that is a great example of another community. Any other specific communities? Let's go outside of maybe like the geographic community piece.
I said the church has a denomination, so the Morton Church, but also the...
So the national church. Yeah, that's fascinating. That's actually, not that I didn't expect that to be on somebody's community, but I wonder, I'm not going to say exclusive, I'll say distinct. If that is something distinct to our denomination, whether a Catholic believer or a Methodist believer would come in and say they are part of a national denomination like that. That is fascinating to think about, right? So it is something distinct, not just, you know, Phil Morton AC, but he's also part of a larger denomination, which is fairly large in the scheme of thing, worldwide large, and yet is community, common interest, common heritage. Okay. Any other pieces of the community that is maybe different than some of the talking points here? Sandy? Okay, homeschool co-op, absolutely. Common interests, some of you have probably been together for a while, and you've seen the growth, right? You have a common shared goal, for sure.
I found some of the communities I wrote down were ones that I have purposely sought out because of a need. And then in finding that community, then I've also found ways to give into it.
So searching out communities, searching out where to move, to live, to go to church, but then there's also some things that are kind of set communities, right? Like I don't choose to like the Gridley Fire Department. Oh, I'm going to choose Shenoah over Gridley. Like I don't know about that. You know, it's a set values. It's custom. It's tradition of those pieces. That's really neat to think about the voluntary versus the okay. This is already set established in my life. That's a great example. I like that. Any other pieces to share before we wrap up? So Katie Miller is a teacher. She's also a student. So I did this myself. And here is a quick glimpse and what they mean to me. So I reside in Gridley, small town, right? I have various pieces here. So home to me is family. And the reason what it does for me is it's known, it's safe. Right, that is it's almost a sanctuary piece to me. That's what family and home serves for me. Something like the library, you might laugh, but he said grocery store, so we're on the same track here. You know, whether I take my kids there once a week, it is a community, okay? Having actually lived in a larger city in Bloomington Normal, I actually got to know those ladies just like I got to know the Gridley Library ladies, right? I'm a patron. I utilize their services. It's an education piece for me, right? It's also a catch-up time of community, right? I take from this community mostly, right? I use it, but maybe there's a piece every now and then I give. Who knows, right? But it's community for me. My work at ACCFS, it is a vocation. It is voluntary. I don't have to choose to work here, right? It is a voluntary piece. Church to me is corporate, it's togetherness, it's liturgy, okay? Liturgy is just a fancy Orthodox way of saying there's practices and certain things that happen and there's order, okay? Firefighters, police force, local government, there's usually order, there's customs, there's practices, right? Friends. Usually they're your friends because you share commonalities. You like being with them. You gravitate towards them. I want to be with them because I like them, right? But they're also the ones you turn to when life is really, really ugly and you need that support. And there's a mutual respect, okay? Lots of different adjectives here, lots of different communities. I'm sure yours are. It's a great way also for me to go through and say, okay, where do I give? Where do I receive? Am I giving too much? Am I taking too much? Okay, and just a great balance. Because here's the why of engaging in community. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 sums it up well. Consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. This is KJV. If I did Katie Miller version, I would say, and let us engage on how we can help and point people towards Christ. That's what discipleship is, being with Jesus, being like Jesus, and encouraging others. Because some people get in the habit, I mean, think of when this scripture was written. They weren't the 21st individualistic, social media saturated society necessarily then. Their sin nature was. But encourage one another all the more okay? Whether it's because of, as you can say today, drawing near, or it's because someone is struggling or someone needs some love and encouragement, or because you personally need to engage in that community. There's the why of community. It is needed for the give and the take, and because it is, as Matt said, it is a commandment. Jesus commanded that, so if he commanded that, he thinks we can do it, okay? Thanks so much for coming to this breakout. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on community. That's a great way to learn and to balance each other out. So thanks again.